The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Outland, Ray engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program on the final day of April. It's April 30th, 2018. Hope you had a great weekend. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, which is Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening, making it very convenient to hear this program really anywhere in the world that you have the internet connection at buckmastershow.com and or kvoi.com. Of course, all of our programs are available for you on the podcast and the archive at buckmastershow.com. 790-2040, anytime during the show you would like to join in the conversation. We begin, of course, on Monday with our Monday political face-off. Today, our commentators, John Munger is here, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers, also a very well-known attorney with us, longtime Democratic Party activist and the former head of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Jeff and John, how was your weekend? Begin with Jeff. How are you, sir?
Well, I was just telling John that it was just so windy this weekend that it was difficult to get my horses out and ride. We just turned them loose, and that's about all we could do.
Are they sensitive to the high winds?
They are. Well, John's a good horseman as well, and things blowing around, and it gets them a little kind of worked up.
You can get a plastic bag blow in front of them, and they'll freak. You know, it's very dangerous to ride in the wind.
Yeah. So you decided to instead, Jeff Rogers, watch your Indiana Pacers. Of course, you are a Hoosier, and they were eliminated by the Cavs, Cleveland.
Well, they were clearly the better team.
I know. I saw your Facebook post during the game, and you were very frustrated.
But I'll tell you, LeBron James is just, I mean, he performed phenomenal. I mean, he's like Superman. I mean, any team that's got a guy like that on it has got an edge that no one else has. I mean, he put the Cavaliers on his back and carried them through the playoffs. Mm.
John, what'd you do this weekend?
Well, just had a beautiful weekend and did some reading, played some golf, had a great time.
All righty. Ray Allen has just posted in front of me information about schools in Tucson. Tucson Unified announcing they're going to remain closed tomorrow as well. So Jeff and John, looks like this thing is going to continue now for 4 days. The new development is that the Goldwater Institute, based in Phoenix, is now threatening a lawsuit, Jeff.
Well, the problem with a lawsuit is, who are you going to sue? You're going to have to sue every school district in the state that remains closed. I mean, you know, that's just how many lawyers you're going to hire to do that, and what's your legal theory here about the school district's obligation to remain open? They control their calendars. They can add days to the calendar at the end of this if they need to. So that's just absolutely ridiculous. This is a political problem which calls for a political solution, and we'll maybe know some more this afternoon. My understanding, and John may know more about this, is the Republicans' leadership in the House and the Senate have been working over the last several days with the governor's office to come up with some kind of budget that reflects an increase in school funding, whether it's what Ducey promised or otherwise. Maybe we'll see this afternoon. They haven't included the Democrats in any of the discussions, and they have refused to talk with any of the education groups that are pushing for these salary increases and increases in aid to education. So we'll see. Maybe we'll know some more this afternoon.
John, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, let's start from the basic issue, and that is the strike.
Right. Is it legal?
Well, number one, let's start from the very first premise. The governor has offered the teachers a 20% raise over a three-year period. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge raise, and I do not understand why they're striking over that. Apparently, that's not enough. Tell me,
well, it hasn't been reduced to writing. There's no budget. There's no bill. Well, there's no, you know, this has
you don't
to start,
strike over
this
that.
This has to
Jeff.
Start in the legislature.
Let me finish. You don't strike when the governor's offering you a 20% raise and the legislative session isn't over yet. You don't go on strike in anticipation that it's a problem. You're being told by the governor you're going to get a 20% increase. So I think the strike is frankly ridiculous. And what the Goldwater Institute is saying is they can sue the school boards. They can also sue the teachers that go on strike. There is not a right of the teachers in Arizona to strike. The students are suffering. The parents are suffering. And the teachers are on strike because a 20% raise is not enough. I think that the Goldwater Institute is on the right track here. The school districts haven't said they're going to be open for another X number of days. And as far as I know, they're not going to be. So education is suffering because the teachers don't seem to think a 20% raise is enough. I think that's absurd.
And you believe that the goodwill that is being eroded by the day with this thing?
Well, I certainly do. I think the teachers are appearing greedy and uncompromising. They've been offered in good faith a very significant raise, and they're not willing to accept
that. Okay, now, Jeff.
Well, what we've got is a situation today where at least 10 and perhaps more percent of the people teaching in schools in Arizona aren't qualified. And you know why they're not qualified? It's because they either don't have a degree at all or they don't have an education degree. They were hired as a desperate measure under an alternative theory of basically permanent substitutes. And this has gone on all around the state right now. TUSD's got a lot of these permanent substitutes. And the fact is we can't attract and retain teachers. The average salary of a teacher in Tucson is $37,000. That is pitiable. I mean, when my nephew was teaching for the Vail School District, he not only qualified for access for his children and his wife, but he qualified for food stamps. And he doubled his salary by moving to Las Vegas and teaching there. Now that's the story that you hear time and time again: people leaving the profession but staying in the state, or people leaving the state to go to one of the surrounding states or some other state that pays quite a bit more. We've got a systemic problem, and it's not just teachers' salaries. We've got a problem with how we're funding the repairs, how we're funding school supplies, how we're funding the support staff, and these things are all important to the teachers. It's not just about a 20% pay increase. It's about meeting these other demands to address an educational system that is in disrepair and that frankly the Republicans have torn apart since 2008.
Well,
we have cut funding more than any other state. Number two after us is Alabama. We have a 23% funding cut since 2008 in Arizona, and that doesn't even take into account inflation.
John? Well, the big expense, of course, are salaries, and the teachers are going to. Nobody's arguing, Jeff, that we need to put more money into the school system. That's not the argument, but they're going to get a 20% raise over 3 years, And they're trying to put things back to where they are. Now, the other interesting aspect, as you know, school districts are their own taxing entity. Mm-hmm. The school districts, TUSD is a prime example, refuses to go out to its public, its taxpayers, and ask for more money. Why do they do that? Because they know people don't trust TUSD to give them more money.
I think they did, and it was turned down.
Well, yeah, that's right, because the schools are not well run.
And the Sunnyside went down too. Typically, almost every school district is voting these
down. And so what the Democrats are doing is saying, well, the schools can't convince their own taxpayers to pay more money because the schools are poor, and therefore we're going to blame it on the Republicans who are offering them a 20% raise, and they're going to say it's all the Republicans' fault. when the school districts themselves are so poorly run that they can't convince their own voters, their own taxpayers, to give them a pay raise.
So you're saying what's wrong with this picture?
This is absurd.
Well, here, let me tell you.
Okay.
Article 11 of the Arizona Constitution, Section 1, Section 9, and Section 10 sets forth that it is the state's responsibility to fund the schools. And that's where the funding has been cut. We haven't cut budgets in TUSD. We haven't cut taxes in TUSD or in Sunnyside or anywhere else. Typically, the places that approve override bond issues and are more money are places like the foothills where the parents can afford to say, yeah, we'll tax ourselves more, or the other people value education. But when you get into places like Sunnyside and TUSD that has a much poorer population, it's hard for people to approve tax increases and tax themselves more because their taxes are pretty high as it is.
Well, Jeff,
so what we need is we need the state to step up and meet its constitutional obligation for funding elementary K through 12 schools.
Jeff, the money's all got to come from taxes from somebody. What we're hearing
well,
is
well, and we need to quit cutting taxes.
Let me finish, Jeff. The money's going to come, 20% increase. All that TUSD and some of the other school districts are trying to do is put it off on somebody else. And that's ridiculous. They've asked their own people in their own taxing districts, in the school districts, for more funds, and those people say no. Now, why is that my responsibility? Ducey and I are willing to give the teachers a 20% increase, and it's still not enough. I think it's absurd, and I think that the Goldwater Institute is absolutely right to sue the teachers and the school districts for wrongfully striking and shutting down the schools at the expense of the students and the families, their parents, especially when they've already been offered a 20% raise.
Okay, well, Jeff, you hold your comment there because we're going to have to take the break right here, and I want to tell people about our fine newest partner, and it's Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle. Jeff, you were saying, I think when we visited a week or two ago, that you've been looking for a Danish Kringle for a long time because you enjoyed them back in Indiana.
Well, that, and I also remember that German bakery that was over there on Dodge, but close to...
That was
a wonderful bakery for decades in Tucson, and so I've been looking for another bakery to visit, so I'm going to have to go to Mona's.
You're going to go to Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and his team of bakers get up very early in the morning to make sure all of the bread...
I may have to do that. I've never had a Kringle.
Well, you're going to have a Kringle
so
for...
So I'm going to Mona's.
Okay, have your sandwich. He's got the sandwiches ready on the beautiful bread. For dessert, you can take your Kringle with you, John, home.
All right.
Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And, of course, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they're on Facebook. Thank you, Moe, for your support of our half-hour political face-off each Monday here on The Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Tuesday. Buckmaster Show contributor from Washington, D.C., Terry Bracey will join us, plus our Your Med segment hosted by former UA College of Medicine Dean Dr. Ray Woosley. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Moe is the place not only for the great framing. I've had some beautiful mirrors put in our bathrooms that Moe did. John Munger is here and Jeff Rogers. Jeff, you were sharing with me during the break that the next time you do a mirror, you will go to Moe's rather than another place you went and you weren't all that happy.
Yeah, that was some years back, and I've seen some of the framing he's done for custom bathroom mirrors.
Great.
And they're really awesome.
They really are. Let's go to the live line. Ingrid has a question about the state and teachers. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Yes. Why is it that instead of the teachers abandoning their posts, the unions, on behalf of the teachers, haven't filed lawsuits against the various government entities that who are being accused of not performing their duties?
Okay.
Well, there was a lawsuit that was brought by the School Boards Association and various school boards around the state against the state for improperly funding education, not funding it to the degree that is constitutionally required and required by some statutes. Not only did they sue, but they won. And the verdict was something north of $1 billion. Well, the state refused to pay the money, and the litigation continued, and it was stuck at the Court of Appeals level when Ducey and the Republicans came up with this idea of Prop 123, which was passed by the voters that would have allowed money to be taken from the state land trust, which was established when Arizona became a state, and promised that all that money from the land trust, things like cattle grazing and other things that, that people use it for, that money from those leases would go into the state land trust and be used only for educational purposes. And so what has happened now is that Jeff DeWitt, the former treasurer, he said, jumped up and down and said, you cannot do this. This is unconstitutional. Well, a judge in Maricopa County has just ruled this past month that indeed DeWitt was correct, and it is unconstitutional to raid the state land trust fund. So now the school districts are not only in a bad financial way, but they're now in a position of maybe owing the state land trust large sums of money, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in some of the larger school districts' cases. So there is some merit to what Ingrid says. And as to what John was saying before about the Goldwater Institute suing teachers, I don't think they would have standing to sue teachers individually, and they might not even arguably have standing to sue the school districts. So, you know, we're getting into some kind of frivolous lawsuits here, and we need to just solve this political problem.
I think they can solve that problem by having plaintiffs who are parents and students, and then they could easily solve the standing problem, I think.
All right, gentlemen, we have 5 minutes left with the political face-off, and I want to carve out just a couple of minutes here from both of you. Some of the President Trump supporters, John, have been saying that the president maybe should be considered for a Nobel Prize in his work to kind of get the North and South together on this Korea deal.
Well, he did. I think he does. Let's see what happens first. The North Koreans have been hammered because of Trump's hammering on the Chinese and his military saber rattling, frankly, at the North Koreans. That's been going on for months. Has been very effective. Now we've got the North Koreans have a new problem, and the new problem is that their nuclear site has collapsed. And they themselves can't any longer, safely anyway,
do underground nuclear testing.
So, and as I understand it, it's so bad their caves, their nuclear underground testing caves have collapsed, and they're promulgating radiation into China. So that ups the ante on the Chinese are not happy. They're not happy, weren't happy in the first place when Trump came in and said, you got to get this going. So Trump started the ball rolling. Now the caves have collapsed where they were doing the underground testing. The Chinese are even more unhappy. And I think that's why we're seeing it all happen.
Jeff, what do you think?
Well, you know, we were talking before we went on the air about there's an April 26th Forbes magazine article that talks about this collapse of this mountainside and that nuclear dust and radiation may be being emitted from this mountainside that has collapsed. So John's absolutely correct. Their hands may be tied by many other reasons of what has brought them to the table for peace talks. But it seems to me like Trump getting any kind of prize for anything I find laughable. And when I first heard that, I was laughing out loud in the car on the way to work this morning. But the fact of the matter is that the two Korean leaders, South and North, getting together and having a very amicable discussion might be the step we need. And we may not even need to have Trump or any Americans involved in this process hardly at all. They seem to be making giant strides all by themselves, at least seems like that over the past week.
Well, it's interesting that the head of South Korea himself said the other day that Trump should get a Nobel Prize.
Did he really?
And he said that Trump deserved the credit for getting this going. And I give him credit, and the left and the American public hammered at Trump for how dare you demand the Chinese help, and how dare you send aircraft carriers over to the Korean Peninsula, and how dare you do this? The answer is that America is a very strong country, both economically and militarily, and we need to deal from our strength, not from our weakness. And Donald Trump recognizes that. The past presidents, plural, have not recognized that. We never should have gotten to where we are now. There never should have been an issue. This should have been handled decades ago. And it's Donald Trump has handled this. He's negotiated very effectively by dealing from strength rather than dealing from weakness. And insofar as the Nobel Peace Prize, my goodness gracious, Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize for doing nothing.
He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it either.
He didn't deserve it either.
Certainly Trump
doesn't. You do agree on that.
If anybody deserves a Nobel Peace Prize, it would be Trump for getting this huge international problem off the ground, fighting the left all the way through this thing, pounding on the table at the Chinese to solve the problem, where the Chinese are now finally working with us and have been for many months, and being willing to send the military power over there to force the North Koreans to the table. Okay. So I commend him for that.
Jeff, final word?
Oh, I'll just laugh.
Okay. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in those custom frame mirrors we were talking about. And, of course, he does such a beautiful job on all of his picture framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Be right back.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Monday edition as we push toward now 25 minutes before 1 o'clock. And I don't know if the wind has already started to kick up out there, but it'll be kind of windy for the next couple of days. But the good news is usually the wind blows through, then the next day it's cooler. Some exciting news we're announcing here right now on the Buckmaster Show from Green Things and Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Zocalo is moving soon to a new location on the 13 acres Green Things site on River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, with all the great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. But right now is a great opportunity, and we're going to hear about it. They're going to be having a moving and a retirement sale of all that Zocalo merchandise. It's going to be over at Green Things. So we welcome now to the show. Jan Westerboro is with us. Jan and Jack are the owners of Green Things. And Bob Stowe is with us. Bob has had Zocalo for the last dozen or so years. He's retiring, as making it kind of his full-time business. And Green Things is acquiring Zocalo. So I think it's a win-win for both. Would you agree, Bob?
Yes, I do agree. That's a very nice thing, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about why you even got into the business and how it has gone.
Yes, well, more than a dozen years ago, my friend Jed Paradis started the business, and he was closing because he was moving to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so I helped him with his final sale and decided it was a good business for us to do.
And then you have decided that you don't really want to do this kind of full time,
yes,
but you still would like to be involved somehow. Mm-hmm. And so Jan, Bob is still going to have a place as kind of a consultant for the business, correct?
Yes, that's right. We're really looking forward to having Bob and Carrie on board as in sort of a consulting role and a buying role, which is critical so that we can continue the high quality, fine colonial furniture and stuff that they've always had at Zocalo Village. So we're really excited to start working with them, try to blend our skills with their knowledge and all that of Latin America, Mexico, and beyond, because we actually will be carrying antiques from Europe as well. And Bob, wow, and Carrie will be on a buying trip over in Europe for 4 months this summer. So we're really looking forward to what they're going to find over there.
So Jan, tell us a little bit about the logistics of how this is, how the acquisition, how all of this is, the relocation, how is it all going to work?
So we're planning right now to keep the presence at 2924 up East Broadway, which is a smaller part of the original Zocalo store, and have you said earlier, Bill, a presence there of all the Zocalo materials on sale for a lot of the summer, and hopefully you know, being able to sell all that merchandise to the public. And then as the summer moves forward into the autumn, we'll be bringing in more merchandise from Mexico and Europe, and getting all that set up at Green Things so that we can get the permanent move to Green Things done, hopefully by November, and maybe have a grand opening later in the fall.
Well, so many of our listeners love Green Things. So how will this position in the property explain where Zocalo will be located?
So we're planning to have Zocalo be really kind of a Zocalo village at the eastern part of the property, which is the, as you enter off of River Road, mm-hmm. you'll enter and go through the growing grounds, and then the first thing that you'll see is the Zocalo merchandise area.
Right,
there'll be several signs and the
branding,
merchandise will
the Zocalo
be,
label
yes,
and everything.
Yeah. We'll keep the same logo and all that that the customers know so well. We'll try to keep the flavor and all the high quality and the knowledge that Bob and Carrie have, you know, worked so hard to maintain, and have that right there at the entrance. So as customers come into Green Things, the first thing they'll encounter after the growing area is all the Zocalo merchandise, which we're so excited about.
Bob, how did you get interested in this particular merchandise? And give our listeners an idea of the variety of merchandise that you do carry and have mm-hmm. carried over the years.
Yes, we started traveling to Mexico in the 70s, but for the business was later in the early 2000s, and we'd go to San Miguel de Allende in Guanajuato state and other towns in that state of Guanajuato. And then we started traveling to Chiapas and Guatemala and Oaxaca and Jalisco, Michoacán, Guerrero state. So all the southern states of Mexico and all the indigenous people have a different type of artwork and a different manufacturing of goods. So we just kept exploring and finding more and more people and always picking the best of what they make and the best quality that we could find.
Retablos, the Talavera, mm-hmm. Milagros, the tin art, some great tin art. I love the variety of the furniture. And as you point out, Mexico and Latin America, there's really, it's almost like there are these particular, each of these countries and these craftsmen, Bob, have their own style. And we haven't even talked about the Bolivian weavings, mm-hmm. wonderful weavings from Bolivia and the Peru, the mm-hmm. work from Peru.
Yes, we have quite a bit from Peru. Mm-hmm. And blankets, sweaters, alpaca, and a little bit of art that they do in ceramics and stone, little stone nativities and things like that.
And Jen, you've been interested in this type of material for a long time. Didn't you study at one time in Mexico?
Yeah, during college I studied for a quarter down in Guadalajara, learning Spanish and a lot of the culture, and studied anthropology and archaeology down in Mexico, and we traveled around the country. And ever since then, that kind of sparked an interest for me in Mexico. And when we moved to Tucson and I discovered that Mexico was only 45 minutes from the border, that kind of did it for me. And Jack and I and our family have spent a lot of time in Mexico since then.
Now, will the footprint expand as far, you mentioned European antiques, Jan?
Well, Bob and Carrie already carry a certain amount of European antiques.
Okay.
And we've talked about, expanding into like Bolivia, Peru, and maybe even beyond. I know there's a desire on their part to kind of explore some of the more indigenous areas on the rest of the globe.
So, Bob, you're going to kind of show Jan, I understand, the ropes. You've got a buying trip that's planned for later this week. Where are you going to take Jan?
Well, we'll start in Mexico City. There are some markets in Mexico City that are quite nice. And then from there, we go to San Miguel de Allende. And
what a beautiful place.
A really, really nice place. And the warehouse is in San Miguel de Allende. So there's a lot in that state of Guanajuato.
Do you already have a warehouse down there?
Yes, we have a warehouse in San Miguel. So it is not, we don't own the warehouse, but it is a rented a leased warehouse, and it's a large warehouse, big enough where a semi-truck can go on the scale and would be weighed and go into the warehouse. And then, so all around that state, and then we move on to Guadalajara, Tonalá, Tlacopaque, those areas around Guadalajara.
Okay, so At the moment, though, all of the merchandise that you have, this is available right now at the Country Club location, right?
Yes,
Bob?
Yes.
At a pretty good discount.
Yes, we have a big
deeply discounted sale
for the retirement and the moving sale that will continue through the summer.
So people have an opportunity to get some really great buys, and as far as Bob and Jan, you're concerned, this is a nice way to kind of let the public know that this marriage is about to take place, and also it's a great opportunity for some really good discounts, right?
Yes, that's right. And we've already got the merchandise moved in, so we're hoping that people will start visiting right away. We still got a great selection, a lot of stuff packed in there, a lot of good things. So, mm-hmm.
So it's not, and it's not for folks who are saying, well, Green Things, you already have some beautiful pottery, right? Talavera. I mean, it's not like Mexican pottery will be new to Green Things.
No, we sell a lot of Talavera right now. Some of the old school style Talavera with the less shiny finish, and also some of the newer Talavera in all sorts of shapes and sizes. So yeah, we do carry that. We're hoping this will just be, you know, an add-on to that, you know, kind
even
of thing.
Even making it a more of a destination than it is right now.
Right, that's what we're hoping.
All right. Green Things, one of our favorite sponsors, Jan Westenborg, with us. Her and Jack do such a great job over there. They've taken kind of the original 3 or 4 acres, making it into a destination right now, 13 acres. Soon, Zocalo, the Zocalo Village will be over there, and Bob Stowe is retiring kind of full-time from Zocalo, but he will be involved with the new operation at Green Things. Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Jan, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Bill.
And again, the location at Zocalo, where everything is deeply discounted, the corner of Country Club and Broadway, so check it out. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are pushing now toward 10 minutes before 1 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, urges all of the Buckmaster Show listeners, how about a midweek getaway over to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States? It's only about a three-hour drive, and as things heat up here in Tucson, it's cooler over there because of their elevation. So you can figure about 15 degrees cooler and good hiking weather and camping and exploring historic Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information. Kyria Sabin Wegeman is with us. Kyria is the owner of Body Works Pilates, and Pilates, there's a National Pilates Day weekend that is coming up on my wedding anniversary, Cinco de Mayo, on May 5th and 6th this weekend. Kyria, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so interested in learning about the fun thing about my job is I learn something every day, and I want to learn about Pilates. What is Pilates?
Pilates is a form of physical conditioning that spans the spectrum from fitness to physical therapy. We do a lot of conditioning work with athletes, preparation for surgery, so prehab and rehab, posthab. It works the entire body, both strength, flexibility, balance. So we work with a lot of older adults on just improving their balance and their skills and moving through life. And
is it a machine or what?
There's several machines.
Okay, try to describe that for us.
There's mat Pilates, and then there's also studio Pilates. And studio Pilates involves several different pieces of equipment. It's all spring-based resistance as opposed to weight-based resistance.
Spring-based?
Spring-based. And okay. So it works more organically with the way the muscles naturally function. There are thousands of exercises in Pilates, and so there's a program for everyone. We generally start with people one-on-one and then progress them to semi-privates and then group classes.
And you became interested in this how?
I was a client. I actually was looking for something new. I moved from New York to Los Angeles and spoke with a friend of mine who founded Canyon Ranch. And she suggested that I go to a studio in Los Angeles. So I was a client and an avid practitioner. Never, ever thought that I would teach Pilates and sort of fell into it. I was planning to go to law school, and a friend of mine in Tucson was planning to open a Pilates studio, and her plans fell through, and I moved to Tucson to help her, and here I am.
How did Pilates come to this country originally? What's some of the history, please?
Through a gentleman, Joseph Pilates, and his wife, Clara Pilates.
Oh, so Pilates is named after a Pilates.
It's named after a man.
It's named after a man. Okay.
No, it's not a thing. It was
so
a man.
So when When was all of that?
He was German. He moved he was in an internment camp in the UK during World War II, moved to New York, and he was a sickly child and began studying both Eastern and Western forms of fitness. And then began experimenting with spring-based resistance. And when he moved to New York, he fully developed his method, and it took off with boxers, with athletes, with dancers. It really predated physical therapy.
How is it different from, let's compare it to other types of therapy, like it is for yoga, for example?
It's often compared to yoga, and it's very different. Pilates is very much about physical conditioning. It's not a spiritual practice. Although I think that when you're more in tune with your body, it's easier to become one with whatever spiritual connection is important to you. It's about moving from the inside out. So some people consider Pilates to be the ideal core-based conditioning. But it's really overall physical conditioning, and it's about creating symmetry, balance,
Is there an easy way to, like, for folks that are beginners to kind of ease into this without a lot of pain? Pain, no gain. You know
well,
that.
And there should be no pain with Pilates.
Ray, my engineer producer, is smiling on the other side of the glass because he knows sometimes when you get into a physical fitness program, it's those first couple of sessions, people sort of turns them off, then they don't come back, basically.
Well, yeah. With Pilates, I start people with Pilates in their 80s and 90s. I work with teenagers. We started the first teen-based Pilates program in the country. Here in Tucson, and it's now an international program. We work in the schools. I work with a lot of people who are preparing for surgery. So there's really no ideal place to start. You don't have to be in a certain physical condition in order to begin Pilates. But there is, you know, there is a certain amount of a learning curve.
Sure.
So it's understanding how to use your body in a slightly different way.
And using muscles, perhaps, that you had not used in the past.
Well,
no.
We use all of our muscles, but Pilates really teaches us how to use our muscles more more functionally. So it's using our muscles as they were designed to be moved, and really teaching people proper posture and proper technique in almost everything that they do.
Had you tried other physical type therapy before you came to Pilates?
I had tried almost everything.
I want to hear what your experience had been, and then was it like the light bulb suddenly went off when you did the Pilates?
I was an athlete growing up. I played tennis and soccer and also danced as a child. And then when I moved to New York and was more in the working world, I did every form of gymnastics and step aerobics, and I ran and I swam and lots of yoga classes, and nothing quite felt
as
right.
comfortable or right, yeah.
And something that I wanted to continue for the rest of my life. And so when I had my first Pilates session, it was a real eye-opener.
Let's talk about your events for this weekend, which is National Pilates Day weekend. Body Works Pilates, located at?
River and Campbell. We have two locations. One is in St. Phillips Plaza. The other is in Oro Valley at Tantrine and First. And we have we're celebrating International Pilates Day, which I actually started.
No kidding.
I did. When I was on the board of the Pilates Method Alliance, I started International Pilates Day with one of my fellow board members 15 years ago, and so now it's celebrated pretty much in every country around the world.
So this Sunday.
This Sunday.
Why don't we start with Saturday?
Yeah. We have my original teacher, Diane Severino, who's one of the divas of the Pilates world, is coming in from Los Angeles to spend the weekend with us. And she actually was one of the first teachers on the West Coast, and she will be leading the Pilates Day celebration, which is complimentary to the public. It's 9 o'clock on Sunday morning in St. Phillips Plaza. and we'll introduce people to of all levels to Pilates, and it's an hour long, free, fun, complimentary experience.
That'll be in the River Road location.
That's at the River Road location, out in the courtyard at St.
Okay.
Phillips.
Okay, and Saturday on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.?
She'll be in the studio teaching a workshop, and it's more for serious practitioners.
Oh, okay. So really kind of the public event that our listeners, if they would like to sample what it's all about, would be the Sunday event, May 6th, in the morning.
Yes,
at the River
yes.
Road location. A good chance just to come out, take a look, and learn a little bit about it.
From one of the premier Pilates teachers in the world.
Kyria, always a pleasure, and I'm so happy that you've got this going on from Body Works Pilates. So you'll be also celebrating your 25th year in the business, which is really cool.
It is. It just dawned on me this year that I've been doing this for 25 years,
yeah.
and it seems like yesterday I opened my first studio and the Ventana Canyon area in 1993, and started.
You were one of the early practitioners in Tucson, to say the least.
Well, there were no other studios in Tucson at the time outside of Canyon Ranch, and then I started a school, which has now become international, and I started that in 1999, and we have students coming in from all around the world. Now we have students from Korea and Kuwait City and Dubai, and it's really taken off.
Kyria, congratulations.
Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, we have Mike Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 6. Wake up Tucson tomorrow morning, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you from 12:04 to 1. On behalf of Ray Allen, have a great afternoon and evening.